This is Authors Alcove, where writers learn from writers. Readers get the inside scoop, and everyone learns something. An episode comes out every Wednesday where writers share their latest work, every other Tuesday where us writers get taught by such experts as editors, book cover artists, and marketing execs, and beyond. So grab a cup of coffee, and let's dive into our next book. Welcome to Authors Alcove. I am your host, Agnes Wolf. Today, I have Ashley McClain. She is the author of the historical fiction Last Amazon series, which I had a chance to talk to her about, as well as Finding Peace and Finding Adventure series. She is also the editor and owner of Daughter Dogs Proofreading and Editing Service. Welcome, Ashley.
Well, nice to meet you. Nice to see you. I guess I did talk to you before.
Yes, it's been a while. Yeah. Do you mind just sharing a little bit about yourself and your editing and proofreading services that you provide through Daughter Dogs?
I was a teacher of the local college for over 22 years, and I recently retired to take care of my mom, who isn't in bad health, but she is pushing 80, so she needs a little help every now and again, and discovered that, you know, like most people, I can't afford to just sit around, so I decided that I would open my own editing business. I have done some editing before for my colleagues at work, sometimes for work related, sometimes actually for their novels, because no history professor exists, as far as I know, without believing they could write a novel. And I know everyone in English does eventually. And so I thought that was something that I could get into. I have my company and I offer a puppy proof. That's basically just a proofread. It's a last set of eyes before you send that manuscript off with all the hope in the world, because, you know, you always could use another set of eyes. I have a Bobby Basic Edit, which is like a regular copy edit. I have a Meg Intermediate Edit, which is my line edit, and my Teddy Advanced Edit, which is a developmental edit. Those are my Bernese Mountain Dogs that I have had. In fact, Teddy is my vice president in charge of napping. She's right here by my side. I also offer ADDIE research and formatting. Recently, I have done a lot of research for the Veterans Legacy. We ran out of money, but I was researching the lives of female veterans, and those are on my website under the ADDIE. And I also offer some ghostwriting services as Wenatchee. She was my wolf hybrid that I had right after I left home.
And what genres do you typically work with?
I have done historical fiction, cozy mysteries, lots of literary fiction, quite a bit of fantasy. I've done one young adult novel, a couple of memoirs, couple of how-to books. I've done gardening, a couple of self-help, personal finance, and I've also done some academic articles on literary criticism, history, political science, all kinds of stuff.
I think a lot of us self-published people sometimes don't understand the difference between proofreading and editing. Do you mind just sharing a little bit difference of what proofreading is, what editing is? And I know there's like developmental editing, copy editing.
Well, after you have done your writing, and you do that lovely little process called revision, where you rewrite everything at least 30 times, and you're still wondering whether you've got it quite the way you want it. That's what an editor is for. It's to help you smooth out. A copy edit is basically just when it's almost 100% complete, and you just need somebody to smooth it out and make sure that it's consistent, it's clear, it's as mistake-free as humans can make it. A line edit is where there's perhaps a few things that you're really worried about, and you talk with the editor about that. And so the first pass of that edit is the author's area of concern. What is the coherence, the readability, the language use? A developmental edit is for if this is your first attempt at writing a full-length work and you have no idea how to start doing your own revising. That is what a developmental edit is for. It looks at structure and organization. And, you know, are you clear to other people? Basically, you hire an editor to tell you the things your friends will not tell you about your writing. You may end up with a love-hate relationship with your editor. I hope it will end in a love one. A proofread is just exactly that. Grammar, spelling, punctuation. Just the mechanics. I have a terrible time when I am typing within and on. And because I have done the typing, I read the correct word regardless of what I have actually typed in there. And that is what your proofread is for.
So what are some edits someone should do themselves before they send off to an editor like yourself?
Well, if at all possible, your revisions, or at least being aware of the places where you are concerned, where it doesn't feel right to you. It doesn't, I don't know, what do you want to say, sound right to your writer's ear, that little internal thing. That's what you need to talk with your editor about. Sometimes I think people wait too long to send to an editor. Usually the earlier, the better.
So you had said that, you know, you wanted to make sure that you have a more love relationship than a love-hate relationship, because sometimes people do not like criticism. So what are some ways that a writer can work best with their editor to make it more of a love relationship?
I think it's communication. I always try and be real careful. I don't really give out names of people or of what they were writing about, but, you know, because it was someone that I knew, she knows I'm going to do this. She's a motivational speaker. And so she decided she would write a self-help book. And it's like, are you with me? That's fine. But you can't do that on every page. Okay. It works really well if you're speaking to a live audience. It doesn't come out right on paper. This is another thing perhaps that an editor is for. And so what I said was the cheerleading is great, but you need to use it as an accent, not as a refrain. You know, and I tried to talk her through it a little bit, and she says, you know, eventually, oh, I see what you're saying. She says, yeah. I says, somewhere along the line, someone gave her the advice, and I shudder to report it's advice I have given, and I regret it every time. But people are quite often told to write like they speak, but you can't. We speak in a kind of shorthand that works because we can see one another. It's also, I think, sometimes the problems we get with email and texting. And
yes, so there seems to be a lot of miscommunication, especially when you're dealing with high emotion type things, especially. So what are some of your favorite things to do as an editor? Do you prefer the developmental editing, or do you prefer like more the proofreading side of things?
I really like the proofreading, but my specialty is kind of a line edit.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm usually, you know, the one that says, weren't her eyes blue last time?
Okay. So you're the type of person I need.
Wait a minute. Well, and that's another thing. You know, sometimes I charge a little extra for working in fiction because I have to do character sheets. What did the character look like? What are their main, where are they from? What is their background? Because especially if it's a minor character that appears three times in the book, it doesn't always come out right.
I am just finishing my first rough draft and now going through, and I was thinking, you know, I have like on Excel my character sheets basically, but I realized that I think I'm going to have to do it on paper. So that way it's for some reason, it just helps a little bit for me. And I'm going to have to do that with each of my characters, because I do know for certain that I did change one of my characters because I felt that it needed to be changed. But now I have to go back and find all of those incorrect portions where I talk about this particular character. So what are some things that you make sure that you include on a character sheet when you're doing it for somebody that you're editing for?
All the information that I seem to have, any of their background, hair and eye color, you know, if they're tall, if they're short, if they're heavy set, muscular, thin, you know, look like they escaped from a refugee camp, you know, whatever description you give me. I also try and get a lot of mental characteristics if possible. It's important to know the psychology as much as you can.
That was one of the things that I have that I was thinking, because I was writing out the different things I want to make sure that I have for each character. And one of them was, I want to know each character's goal. So that way I remember when I'm reading. But what are some things that you find that people accidentally make mistakes on as they're writing for their particular characters?
I think the biggest mistake that I ever had to do, oh dear, she was a very minor character, but you know, one of the main points of the novel was the detective's mother passed away. And alas, two chapters later, he has dinner with her.
Whoops.
In the revise somewhere. I think that this has been misplaced and it needs to be moved a little bit backward in the novel before we, yeah. So that's one of the real howlers. Now, it wasn't a book that I edited, but I know I was reading a murder mystery where it was a horse race and the favorite was like Sunshine and the long shot was Grimm. And the long shot won, but the favorite was injured and ended up killing the jockey in his fall. And then all of a sudden, halfway through the book, Grimm was the one that was dead and Sunshine had been the long shot. And I thought,
oh no, was
this
it a
is a
published book?
Professionally published, I mean, traditionally published book. What happened to your editor, my dear woman? So yeah, that's what your editor is for, to help you with those little things. Also, for the character you changed, find is your friend.
So you actually are a writer yourself. You have published a few books. Do you do character sheets for them as well?
Well, no, not usually. But I've discovered that I am not as young as I once was. And I am now. Usually not until I have my first draft done.
Right. So one of the other services that you provide is a ghostwriting service. What does a ghostwriter exactly do?
It's for someone who knows what they want to say, but either isn't confident about writing it themselves or simply doesn't have the time. So that is what a ghostwriter does. We make an outline of what it is you want to say. Honestly, I've never done any fictional ghostwriting. It's nonfiction.
And what is the process of the writer and ghostwriter planning it out? Do you guys get together and do it, or do they usually send out all their outlines and notes?
If they have an outline, I take that and read it before the first Zoom meeting, and then we would flesh it out and get as many details as we can. And then I usually will try and write at least an introduction before the second meeting so we can go over that and make sure I am on the right track for that one. And it usually works out that, you know, every few chapters, we coordinate a new Zoom meeting to make sure we're staying on the same page. If they do not have an outline, just an idea, it usually takes about two Zoom meetings to get an outline.
Okay. You also mentioned when in our communication prior to this that you are working on your latest research project, Veterans Legacy. Could you just share a little bit about that project?
We have been trying to write biographies of all the veterans buried at the national cemeteries here in New Mexico. And I got on with the group that was doing the women veterans from World War II. And you are basically given their name, their rank, their birth date, and an obituary, if we can find one, and access to Ancestry, using Ancestry and newspapers.com and the other stuff that you can get through Ancestry. We research their lives. Sometimes I have tried to get in touch with family members, but on the whole, we have been showing a poor success rate with that because it's just so hard to, you know, do you have the right person? And
that's really fascinating. What are some of the most interesting stories that you've run across so far?
Well, there are a lot of really interesting ones. One of them was about a woman who married at like 16 in upstate New York. And having been married for 10 years and two kids, her husband joined the Army, or yeah, the Army Air Force. And he was parachuting into Europe. And he was apparently shot on the way down because he went in December and he was home by February. And then you can find out nothing until August. She is single and claiming to be single and alone and is joining the Army Air Force in Florida, which I thought was extremely interesting. That was an interesting lady. Some of them are quite tragic. One woman, she joined the Women's Marine Corps, and her fiance, who was also in the Marine Corps, was killed in the war. And her brother was a POW who died of his because of a treatment he received in the POW camp in Japan in 1948. And then she went on to become an advocate for POWs and MIAs.
So this is a collective work that you're doing with other people. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah.
Is this going to be a book or is this going to be a website? How are you
It's
guys going to?
actually a website.
Okay.
It's the Veterans Legacy Project in New Mexico. There are links to two of the biographies that I have written on my website.
Okay, I'll make sure I put those in the show notes so other people can read those.
Yeah, under the Addie Research.
So this is an ongoing one. So you already have things published with this particular project and it's going to continue to build then.
Well, I hope, because quite a number of them that I have written have not been put up on the website yet, because like I said, we ran out of money.
They're trying to
find other funding and then reapply for the grant.
I think that history is one of the most fascinating things, and I want us to be able to preserve as much as possible. That is one of the reasons why I don't like everything going to electronic, because I'm afraid that we will lose some of that because electronic can be more easily changed or manipulated. And there's no proof of that, like, original document.
Yeah.
When things especially begin on electronics. Anyway, are there any other stories that just really hit you?
One died, I think it was 6 weeks after she turned 100.
Oh, wow.
One of them was honored as a living legend, and she was 102, and she passed away 3 days before the ceremony.
Oh, wow. That's awful.
Yeah, I think I actually had three women that lived to be over 100.
That's so neat. Well, I just want to thank you so much for being on here and being able to share about your daughter dogs. And you named it that because of your dogs, right?
All my dogs, yeah.
And the services are named specifically after individual dogs. How many do you have?
Right, I only have one.
Oh, you only have one
dog?
I have
them in succession.
Yes, yeah. Okay. My dog's name is Skeezix. Yeah. What is your current dog's name?
This is Teddy.
Aw.
Theodora Bear.
Aw.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I do want to ask you one more question before you go. As an editor, and this is the question I asked you last time, it's a question I ask everybody. What is one piece of advice that you would give to a not yet published author?
Edit. It sounds perfectly clear to you, but it may not to somebody who doesn't know you.
That makes
so,
sense.
Yeah, you should always have somebody who doesn't really know you well look at it. And yes, I do edit my own work, but I have to confess, I have a proofreader.
I think we all need that because I think we are too blind to our own mistakes. Anyway, thank you again for meeting with me today, Ashley. I really do appreciate it. And I want to also thank my listeners. If you want to check out her books, I do have them in the show notes. There's also another podcast where I had her on talking about those books. You might also enjoy my interview with nonfiction editor Sean Smith. She is also an editor, as well as Rob Bignell. Again, today I had the privilege of talking to Ashley McLean. She is the founder of Daughter Dogs Proofreading and Editing Services. You can find all of those in the links in the show notes. And her website, I believe, is actually daughterdogsproofreadingandeditingservices.com, correct?
That's it. Thank you for having me. It's been nice to see you.
And thank you as well.
Have a good day.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Authors Alcove. We will be back next week on Wednesday, where we will have a writer share yet another piece of work. Also, every other Tuesday, we do learn from experts such as editors, marketing execs, book cover artists, illustrators, and more. If you are interested in being a guest on our show, feel free to go to authorsalcove.com, go to the podcast tab, and then click on Be a Guest. If you're looking for a healed heart, hop on over to our sister podcast, Strength, Love, and Healing with Authors Alcove. You can find that on Spotify and the Apple Podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. Have a great day.